The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The one prophecy that summarizes all of Bible prophecy in Daniel Revelation that's the simplest and easiest to understand is Daniel chapter 2. You start there. You don't start with calculus. You start with algebra or basic math. That's Daniel 2. And that's where we're at today.
That is Pastor Michael Oxentenko, and this is Reaching Your Heart. Here at Reaching Your Heart, we believe that God answers prayer. If you need prayer, call us today at 888-244-HOPE. That's 888-244-4673. And as a reminder, you can always tune into the live worship service held every Saturday at 11 o'clock and Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. You're most welcome to be our guest, either online or in person. Today we conclude the message we started the last time we were together, Daniel 2 and you, and we hope that you enjoy it.
And the birds of the air, that might mean angelic visitation as well, making you rule over them all, you are the head of gold. Now, birds, he would actually rule over the birds, but birds in the book of Daniel also represent watchers. So there's a little nuance there. The Neo-Babylon Empire founded by Nebuchadnezzar in 605 BC is this head of gold. It was followed by the Silver Kingdom, inferior to the Golden Kingdom of Babylon, and then a kingdom of bronze, still more inferior to the silver and the gold. Although the kingdoms that follow are inferior in wealth and splendor, they become stronger as you near the end. Gold, silver, bronze, iron, iron and clay, iron at the end. World kingdoms become stronger but inferior as we come to the end of days. Daniel 2:39. And after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to you, and yet a third kingdom of bronze which shall rule over all the earth. So he's moving through history here. In Daniel 5:28, Daniel told Belshazzar, the last king of Babylon, that your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. He died that night. He was in a drunken feast. He was profaning the tabernacle treasures of the temple, and God took him out and his kingdom in a single night. The Medo-Persians, under the leadership of Cyrus and Darius, Cyrus dried up the river Euphrates. The great bronze bars that were sunk down into the mud were up that night, and they went through it, opened the door, took the city, killed the king a single night, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah hundreds of years before. Years later, the silver kingdom of Medo-Persia fell to the Greeks, who were led by Alexander the Great with his bronze shield. Now, by the way, that happened in 539 BC. Alexander the Great, with his context, the bronze shields and the bronze warfare and all that. October 1, 331 BC, at the Battle of Arbela, he takes out the Medo-Persian Empire. Daniel 8 describes the victory of Alexander the Great in detail in chapter 8. When Alexander was conquering Palestine, he had just taken out Tyre, built this large ramp into the Mediterranean. As he was coming down to destroy the city of Jerusalem, destroy the temple, Josephus, who's a historian at the time of Christ, shortly after, tells us that the high priest, most likely Jaddua, was standing at the door and welcomed him into the city. Took him into the temple and he opened him the scroll of the prophet Daniel and took him to what we call Daniel chapter 8, and he showed him that he would conquer the world. Alexander spared Jerusalem, he spared the temple, and he went on about his business. Prophecy protected the people of God at that time. And so we have an ancient source to this. Then the fourth kingdom of iron broke in pieces the others, altogether as Rome conquered the entire Greek world that Alexander the Great had conquered and unified. And thus the bronze kingdom of Greece fell to the iron kingdom of Rome in the third Macedonian war at the Battle of Pydna in 168 BC, when Antiochus III the Great learned that he wasn't great anymore because he was taken out by Rome. Daniel 2:40, and there shall be a fourth kingdom strong as iron, because iron breaks to pieces and shatters all things. And like iron which crushes, it shall break and crush all these. And then Daniel moves on to the time of the toes. The toes and the feet have iron them also, but not all iron. In some way, the iron of Rome goes to the end. You have Rome in the legs, you have Rome in the toes. But you have mud at the end. Rome transitioned from the iron kingdom of the Roman emperors to the divided Rome of the nations of Europe in the Middle Ages. By the way, do we have any young people here who like to play in the mud? Oh, your mama's sitting there, right? Yeah, a little bit. I'll tell you, I still like to play in the mud. When I go fishing, I get into the mud. I can just jump into the water and clean off. I like being in the mud. Years ago, my boys would get in the mud right there in those stormwater ponds, and they'd have to be caught at the door of the church. Don't you come in. You'll bring all that stuff in. And Diana was interacting with some folks that wanted them to stop. She says, well, you know, I don't want them being so straight-laced they hate church, so let's just not say anything today. And a lot of kids came to church. We want them clean and stuff, but sometimes kids like playing in the mud. But mud is unstable. Clay is unstable. It doesn't have strength to it. Rome transitioned from the Iron Kingdom of the Roman emperors to the divided Rome of the nations of Europe in the Middle Ages. The last emperor of Rome, who was just a boy king, does anybody know his name here? He's named after the first king of Rome and also the greatest king of Rome. His name is Romulus Augustulus. He was a boy king. He was removed from the throne of the Roman emperors by Herulite King Ottobosser in the year 476 AD. That's when the Rome of the emperors ends and you have the divided Rome that follows. Same kingdom according to the Bible. And the kingdom of Europe was a divided kingdom afterwards, held together by two forces, the church and the state. The church and the state. Daniel 2:41. And as you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom. But some of the firmness of iron shall be in it. Just as you saw iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly brittle. This description in Daniel describes the Europe of the Middle Ages perfectly. Strong and weak, a divided kingdom, Rome transitioning. The Bible doesn't teach that Rome fell. It teaches that it transitioned to the divided Rome of Europe of the Middle Ages. Daniel calls this second phase of the fourth kingdom a kingdom in verse 41, a divided kingdom. That means the fourth kingdom of iron transitions in its second phase as the fourth kingdom into a divided kingdom of iron and clay. Now, clay is dirt. When you dry it up, it becomes dust. The image ends with iron and dirt. Dirt. A dirt kingdom. You know, Johnny Cash sang a song just before he died talking about everything he's achieved in life. He got it from some group called Something Nails. I can't remember the name of the group right now. Something Nine Nails or something. But the song was about how everything he has done was a kingdom of dirt. Maybe Daniel 2 is in mind. Clay is dirt. The image ends with iron, strength, but dirt. History calls the divided phase of the kingdom the Holy Roman Empire. That was Europe held together in the Middle Ages by a monarch that kind of held the people together politically and the Pope of Rome who held them together religiously. Two leaders and not one is a divided kingdom. That's what the Holy Roman Empire was. One leader for the state and one for the church. It was a fragile mix, a miry mix of churchcraft and statecraft that wouldn't work very well forever. Daniel then shows us how the kings of Europe would try to fix this miry mix and mess that could hardly hold together on its own. They would try to make it work. They attempted to unite Europe by royal family marriages. He said they would mingle the seed of men. In the 1800s, that attempt occurred after Napoleon tried to conquer Europe and unify it. He met his Waterloo. They said, look, we got to get kings and queens related to each other. And so he had them interacting by marriage. Daniel 2:43. And as you saw, the iron mixed with miry clay, so they will mix with one another in marriage, but they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay. And that brings us to the 1800s, when they're intermarrying to hold Europe together. When World War I hit in 1914, the monarchs of Europe were all kin to each other by marriage or blood ties. And so World War I was a big family feud, like the Hatfields and the McCoys. Four major royal dynastic families came down at the end of World War I. The Habsburgs that ruled Austria, Bohemia, Hungary, and Spain. The Hohenzollerns that had ruled Germany and Prussia. The Romanovs that had ruled Russia. The Ottoman Turks that had ruled the Ottoman Empire, Turkey, and the Middle East. You had kings on thrones who would pass the throne to their children until World War I. In World War I, the historical monarchies end. Archduke Franz Ferdinand, one of the Habsburgs, was assassinated in 1914 in Sarajevo, and that started World War I. After the war's end, at the signing of the Treaty of Versailles on June 28, 1919, Europe had largely abandoned these monarchies. So you're not living in the time of the kings anymore. You have the kingdoms, but not the kings. It moved from kings over kingdoms to social democracies, dictatorships, or communist power states like the Soviet Union that would arise, ruled by foolish kind of people with bad economics. Our world moves from the era of kings to the era of kingdoms in the toes of the feet. Now, we're not living the days of the kings. We're living the days of the kingdoms. Daniel predicted that the blood mixing would utterly fail to unite Europe and the world, and so it did fail. And we are living in a mess today that led to World War I, World War II, the instability of the world and the Cold War, because there is nothing to hold the world together. The last kingdom is the fifth kingdom, and it is not of this world. And that's the one I want to focus on. Number 5 is famous in the Bible. What does the number 10 represent? You can help me with this. What does number 10 represent? What does it point to in the Bible? Famous 10. 10 commandments. What does number 5 point to in the Bible? The fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. But what's it famous for? Remember the 2 fishes and the 5 loaves? And the word of God is symbolized by bread. Now the books of Moses, how many do we have? 5. And the Bible calls it the Torah. 5 is the number for the Torah. This is the fifth kingdom. What does that mean? It means it's the Torah kingdom. It's the word of God kingdom. It's the kingdom built upon God's truth, his order. The word of God kingdom is the fifth and final kingdom. The Torah kingdom, thank goodness, it comes in the latter days. That's the one that follows the mess of the image. In the Bible, a mountain represents a kingdom. Now, I don't think we can appreciate a Torah kingdom unless we appreciate the Torah and the Word of God in our hand, right? If a Torah kingdom exists in heaven, it better matter here. In the Bible, a mountain represents a kingdom. It moves from the image to a mountain. In Isaiah 2:1-5, the mountain of God is the house of God, the sanctuary of God, his kingdom. Hebrews 12:22 says the heavenly Jerusalem is Mount Zion in heaven. Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar saw a mountain kingdom in heaven give birth to a stone kingdom. Something happened up there with that mountain. A stone was cut out of it. He saw that stone fly through space, collide with the image in the feet where you bow down and worship at the image. Meaning end time events are over worship, an image, an idol, as opposed to the rock that comes from heaven, from God's eternal kingdom. Friends, we are living in those kingdom days without bloodline kings. And Daniel told the king in Daniel 2 that this time is the time of the end, the latter days, that transition. The vision is for our time. Daniel 2 and you is what matters here. In the vision, in the dream, the stone comes from a heavenly kingdom. It collides with the feet of the image where pagans worship idols. The stone is cut out of a heavenly kingdom, mountain. The stone flies through space. It collides with the image in the days of the kingdoms. But it's set up in the days of the kings. Something happens in heaven just before the end of the historical monarchy. Something happens before this transition in the days of the kings. The stone that is the fifth kingdom, the Torah kingdom, a heavenly event occurs that precedes this stone colliding with the image. And the cutting out of that stone is in fact the judgment depicted in Daniel 7. It's the end of the 2300 days in Daniel 8:14. So in a sense, the fifth kingdom, the Torah kingdom, is the kingdom of heaven come near and here that has been around for a long time that is founded upon the word of God. In the book of Revelation, it says there are loud voices in heaven, the seventh trumpet. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of the Lord and of his Christ. Something happens there that will matter here. Daniel 2:44, and in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, nor shall its sovereignty be left in other people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms. The kingdom is set up in heaven first, then it breaks in pieces the kingdoms. And it brings them to an end, and it shall stand forever. Verse 45, just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. A great God has made known to the king what shall be hereafter. The dream is certain, its interpretation sure. The fifth kingdom, the Torah kingdom, is set up in heaven in the days of those kings. So, do we have kings after World War I or before? I went through a great deal of effort to kind of tell you when they end. The historical monarchies end in World War I. So, for this to be true, when would the kingdom of God be set up in heaven? Before World War I. We're looking to the 1800s. Something happens in heaven. prior to World War I. And that kingdom that is set up will come at the time of the end to destroy the world. You see, you have all of Bible prophecy right here in Daniel chapter 2. Daniel 7, 8, and so on. That brings us to the 19th century, the rise of nationalism, the divided mess we live in today that follows. The kingdom of heaven that establishes the last and fifth kingdom is not here, it's there. It's set up there. The stone is cut out of a mountain there before the collapse of the historical monarchies in the days of those kings. Jesus alluded to this kingdom as his kingdom because he's the rock of ages and his kingdom is not of this world. He told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. I don't get it here." Jesus made this point clear in his parable introduced in Luke 19, 11, 12. Open your Bibles with me. Let's look at that. Now, Jesus can use two verses to capture all of Daniel 2 because Jesus is smart and Jesus is God. Now, as they heard these things, he, Jesus, proceeded to tell a parable because he was near to Jerusalem and because they supposed, and what are they supposing in the verse there? They supposed what? That what? The kingdom of God was to appear when? Right there in the days of the iron legs, Rome. Now look at verse 12. Jesus said, he said, therefore, a nobleman went where? Into a far off country to do what? To receive a kingdom and then return. So before he returns, what has he got to do in that far off country? Receive his kingdom. Does he receive his kingdom here or there? See, so receiving his kingdom is a heavenly event. Jesus went to heaven when he ascended as the nobleman of the parable. He endured the centuries of the Middle Ages for the judgment of Daniel 7.
We will continue with today's Reaching Your Heart and Pastor Michael Oxentenko in just a moment. So please stay tuned. If you would like to attend the worship service, I will have details on how you can do that at the close of our broadcast today. You can also attend online at reachinghearts.org/video. That's reachinghearts.org/video. Many archived messages are available there for you, and you can attend a live service in streaming format on that website. Let's continue now with Pastor Michael Oxentenko in today's Reaching Your Heart.
When he came before the Ancient of Days, after the end of the Middle Ages, in heaven, the transition from the old to the new order, to modernism, at the time of the French Revolution, thereabouts, to receive his kingdom in the 1800s, the longest time prophecy of the Bible, the 2300-year prophecy, runs out in the year 1844. And Jesus Christ, according to Daniel 7, came before God Almighty in the heavenly sanctuary. He entered the most holy place where the throne of God is at in the heavenly sanctuary in Daniel 7. He was carried in a cloud of smoke like the high priest enters on the Day of Atonement. And the Bible says to him was given a kingdom that all nations, kindreds, tribes, and tongues should serve him. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom which shall not be destroyed. A dominion will never pass away. So Christ is saying, I'm leaving here. I'll be gone for a while. And when that event occurs in heaven, right after that, I'm coming back. That's Daniel 2, Daniel 7, and Daniel 8. Jesus did not set up his kingdom in the days of the fourth kingdom of Rome. As the nobleman in the parable, Jesus went into that far-off country of heaven to receive his kingdom at the end of the Middle Ages, in the 1800s. The book of Daniel indicates in the year 1844, just before the end of the historical monarchies, and then he returns. Friends, we are living in the days just before the coming of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? We're living in the latter days. You can make all kinds of plans for your future. God's future is the one that's going to make it for you. Daniel 2 and you, we are living just before the end. Friend, Jesus is the stone king of a stone kingdom because Jesus is the rock of ages. Peter said, come to him, that living stone, precious in God's eyes, rejected by men. Living stones, be yourself built up in a spiritual house. Friend, one day the coming of Jesus will destroy the world kingdom image. It'll destroy every nation on the face of the earth. It will mean the end of human history as we know it. It will be a cataclysmic final end. Paul says Christ comes in flaming fire with his holy angels. And vengeance will be inflicted upon those who attack God's people, who attack God's word. And our link to the future is Jesus. Our link to the future is a stone kingdom, is a kingdom founded on something solid, rock solid in our life. This world, destined to be destroyed, will be reborn one day. to become the center of the universe because Jesus lived here. Jesus died here. Jesus pled and prayed and bled for us here on the cross. As for the image, the wind blew it away because it's just an image of a man, a human, man-made system of metal and dirt that's broken and blown away at the time of the end. So which kingdom do you want to belong to? I want to belong to a stone kingdom, the stone kingdom. The stone is the Son of Man. In Hebrew, the word stone is eben. The word son is ben. It's a wordplay. Stone, son, wordplay. I want to be a part of the Son of Man stone kingdom, the kingdom of God, the Torah kingdom, the fifth kingdom. Daniel 2 and you invokes a question for you to answer. Here's the question. Which kingdom do you belong to in Daniel 2 and you? Which kingdom do you really belong to right now? When you do a moral assessment in your own life, where are your loyalties? When Jesus comes, which kingdom will have your heart, your affections, your loyalty? Where are you now with that? This old rotten world of ours is an idol kingdom made of gold, silver, bronze, iron, clay that breaks down and blows away in the end. In the end, it's just power and mud because there's nothing that will last forever in the stone kingdom. When Nebuchadnezzar heard the interpretation, he got it right, sort of. He's moving in the right way. He bowed down to Daniel, bad idea. But he acknowledged the God of heaven on his knees, a good idea. So he got half of it right. And that second part, that's how you become a part of the stone kingdom. When you're on your knees, you get down on your knees and you recognize that God is sovereign in your life, that you need his direction. You can't fix your sins without him, that you need his forgiveness. You need his sustaining power. You need his grace and peace that Paul talks about, and you need his purpose, him to be Lord of your life. When you do that, you enter the stone kingdom. No proud king and no proud person in any kingdom will enter the kingdom of God without prayer and humility on their knees. You get to God and his kingdom on your knees. That's how Daniel got the meaning of the dream. They got on their knees and they prayed and God gave it to them. And that is what Nebuchadnezzar did when he understood its meaning right. He got on his knees. That's how we get there. Today I challenge you to come to Jesus, the living stone, the precious cornerstone, and get on your knees and figure out Daniel 2 and you in prayer with God and Jesus in the mix on your knees. Friend, God is waiting there for you to come to him in humility, to kneel, to commit your life to Jesus, maybe for the first time or maybe again. We have to do that every day in a way. Start the day on your knees. And there, the great God of heaven will bend down to you because, yes, he cares. The great God of heaven is interested in you on planet Earth. He comes to you. And you will enter a kingdom of his Son, the living stone, the Torah kingdom. And you'll never die because you'll live for God for ages and ages to come. And life will be sweet as honey every day, every morning, better than next. Again and again and again and again and again. The stone kingdom, the Torah kingdom, forever and ever. Daniel 2, 46 to 48. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face, did homage to Daniel, and commanded an offering, incense, be offered up to him. Bad idea there. But then he got this right. The king said to Daniel, "Truly your God is God of gods, and Lord of kings, and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery." Then the king gave Daniel high honors and many gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. Dear Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads, we're sinners by nature. We've been sinners by deed in our lives. It's easy to sin. You know that. But Father, we want the stone kingdom, the Torah kingdom in our lives. We want Jesus. We're grateful that he died on that cross for our sins, that he was buried, he was raised for our acceptance and justification. And Father, we want to be accepted and justified so we can live for you, live right. So Lord, there could be someone here who's saying, look, my life's out of control. I don't have it all figured out. I need Jesus. Lord, if that person's here, they link up to that stone kingdom by a prayer. With eyes closed, just raise your hand and say, that's me, God. That's me. That's me. Now, Father, you have promised to forgive. Father, in the closet of the mind that no one can get into but these dear people and you, may they reach out to you and say, forgive me, Lord. And may they hear you say, I forgive you, child. And Father, we want more than forgiveness in our lives. We want the Holy Spirit to obey, because it's not easy. We want to do it for you, not to look good, because we want to be a part of the stone kingdom. And Father, so you pour your Holy Spirit on these dear people. You give them courage. You give them peace. Give them a new beginning. Help them become engaged in church life and not a bystander, to be committed so that they will find their rightful place in your coming kingdom. And Lord, I'm no better than anybody else, so I ask you to do the same for me today so that we're all saved together as friends to get from here to there. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to Daniel 2 and You. That will conclude this message. Remember, you can find these messages, including this one and many others, online at reachingyourheart.com. Thanks for listening today. We would really love it if you would join us for our worship service. It's held every Saturday at 11 o'clock and Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., either online or in person. If you would like to join us in person, the address is 6100 Brooklyn Bridge Road, Laurel, Maryland, 20707. That's 6100 Brooklyn Bridge Road, Laurel, Maryland, 20707. Or if you're more comfortable, you are certainly welcome to join us online at reachinghearts.org/video. That's reachinghearts.org/video. The live broadcast will be streaming and available for you on that website, reachinghearts.org/video. Thanks for listening, and we do pray that God is reaching your heart.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.